الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم في حديث مشهور أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله ويقيموا الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة فإذا فعلوا ذلك عصموا مني دماءهم وأموالهم إلا بحق الإسلام وحسابهم على الله تعالى رواه البخاري ومسلم في صحيحيهما. Respected Qari Sahib, elders, brothers in Islam, today's hadith is a narration taken by, recorded by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim, in which the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam talks about some aspects of his mission, some aspects of what was required from him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Firstly, I will do the translation of the hadith and then inshallah ta'ala we'll go into some points where we are contemplation. أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَشْهَدُوا أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. Our Prophet said that I have been ordered to fight the people until they believe that there is no God but Allah, and that they believe that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah. So I have been ordered to fight them. وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Not only must they believe in Allah and me as the Prophet, but they should establish prayer. وَيُؤْتُ الزَّكَاةِ. And they should give zakat as well. فَإِذَا فَعَلُوا ذَلِكَ عَصَمُوا مِنِّي دِمَاءَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّ الْإِسْلَامِ. When they have done that, when they have accepted faith, when they have believed in the Kalima Sharif, when they start performing prayer, when they start giving zakah, then what? Asamu minni dima'ahum. Then their blood is safe from me. Meaning that they are protected. They will not be harmed in any way. Their blood is protected. Wa amwalahum. And also their wealth. Meaning I will not touch their wealth. Illa bihaqqil Islam. Except for where there is a right in Islam. Where there is a right of your wealth in Islam, namely zakat. So obviously the amount that you have to give for zakat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, other than that, there is no reason for me to squander your wealth. There is no reason for me to try to take possession of your wealth. Once you have believed in Allah, once you establish prayer, once you give zakat, وَحِسَابُهُمْ عَلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And after that, their hisab, their account will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in brief, what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying is that I will wage a war until people believe in Islam. Now at first sight, when we look at this hadith, and perhaps this is the first impression non-Muslims will certainly get, and perhaps some of our own Muslims, is that here quite clearly the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being quite aggressive and is stating that a person will not be protected, a person is not safe from the sword until they actually believe in Islam. It shows, it perhaps suggests that Islam is a very barbaric religion, that look, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself is saying that I have been ordered to fight with you until you accept Islam. Many people nowadays talk about perhaps the barbaric, the cruel nature of Islam, the brutality that perhaps people talk about. It seems that this hadith gives proof of that. That the way people talk about Islam being synonymous with blood, with military expeditions, with brutality, with no respect for human life, it seems that the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seem to prove that theory. This is not the case, however. This hadith is by no means a suggestion that Islam is a brutal religion. It is by no means suggesting that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here is basically claiming or trying to give the impression that he is on a crusade to kill all until they become Muslims. And to put this point across, I will have to explain one particular word of the hadith in detail. Otherwise the hadith does not make sense. Before I do so, in Arabic, I will remind people that Arabic, subhanAllah, is a very eloquent and very detailed language. That one single root word, you can have so many different derivatives from it, and they have a word which is very similar in terms of reading, But if there is a small difference in the zabar zero, an extra alif in that word, then the whole meaning can change. And the word I'm particularly talking about in this hadith is uqatilu, which needs to be understood. If a person, I'll give you an example, if a person is walking down the street at night and he sees two people, and one person suddenly pulls out a knife, and without the second person really realizing it, he pulls out the knife and he stabs him in the back, and that person dies, then the Arabic verb to describe that action would be qatala yaqtulu. You would say that the person has killed him. That's the verb that would you use. When the person, he almost surprises him and he kills him, and the other person, he has not been able to put up some kind of fight. The verb you use for that in Arabic is qatala yaqtulu. If, however, you are walking down the street and again you see two people, and these two people are actually arguing with one another, it seems that they are having some kind of dispute and they are shouting at one another, and suddenly both of them pull out some kind of weapon, for instance, just say for argument's sake that both of them pull out a knife, and they start attacking one another, and eventually one of them or both of them is actually killed. Now the Arabic word that we would use to describe this would not be qatala, it would be qatala. Qatala in Arabic means to kill one another, to fight with one another. Qatala yaqtulu means to kill, it is the action taking place from one to the other. The other person is not really responding with that verb, with that action. But qatala in Arabic means when the action is occurring from both parties. Let's go back to the hadith now and see which word the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used. He said, أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أُقَاتِلَ النَّاسَ. I have been ordered to fight people, and the verb being used is قَاتَلَ يُقَاتِلُ. It does not mean, the translation of this hadith is not, I have been ordered to kill people. Rather, the translation of this hadith is, I have been ordered to fight with people. And what kind of fighting? When people, the enemies of Islam, they themselves have swords in their hands. When people are aggressive themselves. When people want to harm Islam. When people want to harm the Muslims. In that situation, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I have been ordered to pick up my sword as well, to fight back against that aggression. This hadith by no means, if anyone does the tarjumah, the translation, and says, I have been ordered to kill people, he has done the wrong translation. It means to fight with one another. And this is basic Arabic grammar. This is basic grammar, Arabic grammar from we understand this hadith. So basically, what the meaning of this hadith is that when people are fighting against Muslims, when people show that same brutality and no respect whatsoever for tolerance and compassion, when people are being brutal with one another and nomadic with one another, then Muslims have every right to show that same brutality and to pick up the sword themselves. Muslims have the right to defend themselves. That is the meaning of this hadith. Why? Because there are further evidence to suggest that as well. For instance, we know from the Holy Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا إكراه في الدين. There is no compulsion in religion. Meaning that when people accept Islam, then they have to accept Islam through their own true will. Through their own will. Their own freedom that they want to accept Islam. When our youngsters come to the mosque and when they are taught about Iman, one of the first things they are taught that Iman consists of two parts. Iqrarun bil lisan, that affirmation with the tongue. Wa tasdeekun bil qalb, and to verify it with the heart. Now if we take this hadith on face value where it shows that the Prophet has been ordered to kill people or to fight with people so they become Muslims. Now quite clearly, if Muslims fight with the non-Muslims and try to force them to be accept their religion, perhaps you will get a confession or the words out of their tongues to say that yes, we are now Muslims and they read the kalima. But will you get that from the heart? You cannot force someone by force to accept something in their hearts. This is something that they have to do with their own free will. So by virtue of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, لا إكراه في الدين, there is no compulsion in the religion, it is inconceivable that the meaning of this hadith is that we have been ordered to force people to accept Islam. force people by the sword. This meaning cannot be accepted. Now the question remains that yes, we have established that this hadith means to fight with one another. One question we might ask now, well, does that mean in a defensive way or in an offensive way? Meaning that do Muslims themselves take the first steps towards jihad when people want to fight, or is it that it's more of a defensive case? When we look at our history and when we look at the origins of jihad, we will find that in most circumstances and from whichever angle we look at it, jihad was primarily a defensive tool. We know for a fact that for 13 Hajj years, the Prophet ﷺ preached the message of Islam in Makkah Sharif. They were pelted, they were harmed, they were physically abused, they were verbally abused. No permission whatsoever was given to even raise a finger against the non-Muslims. The likes of Sayyidina Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an had stones put on him. Muslims were not allowed to fight back. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through a horrid time in Taif. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give permission to fight. Even in Medina Sharif for a long time, permission was not given to the Muslims to fight. It was very, very late on in Islam that permission was given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to perform jihad. Only in the last 10 years. So this itself suggests that if jihad was permitted in Islam, it was permitted on defensive purposes. Moreover, if we look at the early battles of Islam, we will find that it was not for the sake of winning territory. It was not for the sake that we see today war is based on winning wealth, is winning territory, land. That is not the case with these early wars. Rather, we see that in the early wars of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, quite simply, they were only defending their own land. They were defending the territories of Medina Sharif. And we see that this in the fact that the early battles, the likes of Badr for instance, they were on the outskirts of Medina Sharif. If jihad was an offensive tool where people, the Muslims wanted to show their brutality, then surely we would find that the early wars would have been much further away from Medina Sharif. Yet we find that the Muslims in the early wars, they were fighting basically their back garden in a sense. They were trying to protect their own land. This itself shows that jihad was not an offensive but rather a defensive thing. We see from all this that those people who try to suggest that Islam was spread by the sword, they need to once again look at the events of early Islam, look at what the meaning of jihad is, look at the reactions of the Muslims. One final point I will finish on is that to those people who think that people were forced to accept Islam in the early days, the likes of Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, and as you know, a very famous and revered companion of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he accepted Islam very late on. He accepted Islam on Fateh Makkah, the conquest of Makkah. Before that, he fought against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was only when the Muslims were victorious in Makkah Sharif that he accepted Islam. Now, we all know what the character of Khalid bin Walid was like. Does it sound like that here is a person who was forced to accept Islam? From the signs of his love and compassion for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of the events and all of his heroics in Islam, the title he had been given, Saifullah, the Sword of Allah, does it sound like that on Fateh Makkah that Khalid bin Walid was forced by the Muslim to accept Islam? Here is a Muslim, here is a companion who used to keep the hairs of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his hat. And he used to keep it, he made it clear why he kept it there. He said that when I go to war, when I fight against the non-Muslims, this is obviously after he had accepted Islam, because the only reason, the only means by which I am victorious is the blessings of these hairs of the beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in fact, you have heard the story when once in a battle he had actually lost his hat. And rather than fighting the non-Muslims, rather than fighting the enemies of Islam, he was more worried about finding his hat. He actually put his effort finding the hat. And when the companions later asked that, here you were, arrows were flying in all directions, and you were more worried about this hat than saving your own life. And Khalid bin Walid then explained to his companions that this is no ordinary hat. Rather, this is the hat in which I keep the blessed health of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From this episode, we hear as well that it was the aqidah of the companions that on one hand, if your life is in danger, and on the other hand, if the tabarrukats and the blessings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in danger, then you protect the tabarrukats of the Prophet first. This is the aqidah of the Sahaba ikram. This is what's shown from this episode as well. As I was saying, the point I want to make is, judging by Khalid bin Walid, the services he gave to Islam after he became to a Muslim, it is inconceivable for any impartial person to think for a moment that he accepted Islam by force. That Muslims put a sword in his back and it made him accept Islam. Otherwise, even if he did, then he would have been a lame Muslim. He wouldn't have been an active Muslim. But we see the quite opposite. We see that he was a very close companion of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sent him on many military expeditions afterwards, and even after the Prophet left this world, then again he was in command of many different battles in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after his death, they engaged in. So this shows itself, that this idea that Islam spread by the sword, that Islam tries to promote brutality, rather if anything, Islam wants to put an end to that. And if it means to put an end to it by picking up the sword, then yes, we do accept that in Islam, jihad is an option. For one moment, I am not suggesting that Islam does not allow jihad, or say that fighting is not something which is part of our religion. We accept that, in the same way that any nation state will accept that sooner or later they may have to go to war. And that is why they spend billions of pounds on military equipment each and every year. So we are not apologetic to the non-Muslims in that sense, and pretend that we are pacifist and we completely renounce all kinds of actions against those people who commit oppression against us. We will fight for our rights when we need to. Yet at the same time, we are not the aggressors. Rather, in most cases, we find that we are the aggressed, that we are the oppressed people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to understand the sayings and understand the teachings of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen wa ma'alayna illa al-balahu al-mubin. Ameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim wa salli alayhi. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم أعنا على تلاوة القرآن وذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاة ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.